This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Big show on a Wednesday, 414-799-1250 if you want to join us, 414-799-1250, tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. We're live with you here inside the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Gary Ellerson, our Badger and Packer running back, alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. We're watching the party going on in Kansas City, as it is an absolute festival down there in Kansas.
It was like a cop chase or something, too,
yeah, and there was some dude with his rear end hanging out of his jeans falling out of a tree. So, I mean, it is an absolute party there in Kansas City.
It's been 50 years, man.
And it might be, it hopefully will not be 50 more for those people, because if it is 50 more, there are going to be a lot of people having too much fun to try to save themselves into hibernation for the next 50 years. As that organization celebrates their second Super Bowl title, the Green Bay Packers start to look forward and maybe find a way that they can get themselves their fifth. And we'll talk to Ross Tucker, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider 248, about just that and about the historic run that Patrick Mahomes just started here in his third year in the NFL at 248. And then a conversation at 3 o'clock. A question Gary Ellerson asked me out of curiosity yesterday, and I couldn't answer it. So that means that we bring it to you here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, on the Wendy's Big Show. That comes up at 3 o'clock from right now. And Coach Mike Budenholzer of the Milwaukee Bucks sat down with Bill Michaels, bringing some of that conversation around 4:35 as well. Pick and Lane, as always, at 5 with Great Lakes Dragway. Let's start it up here, though. Last night, we got to see Giannis against Zion in a matchup that some thought should have been more hyped up. I thought the anticipation was very good for one guy being only playing his seventh NBA game, Sparky. And last night you got to see Zion have his 20, not have his best game shooting percentage-wise. He got the run that Alvin Gentry said he was going to. The Pelicans, like a lot of teams in basketball this year, going up against the Milwaukee Bucks, brought it for the first 2.5 quarters. And then, as you eloquently pointed out last year, there seems to be just a flip, a switch that this team can flip, and it is over. And they did that last night, putting away the New Orleans Pelicans with a 22-3 run across the third quarter that spanned 5.5 minutes and blew the gym and the doors off of the gym at the Smoothie King Arena, and had Giannis acquire himself with 34 points, 32 through the first three quarters. And Gary brought this up in our pre-show meeting, and I think it's got a lot of weight because you get to see the dominant, physical, imposing nature of Giannis. And then last night, while he's not necessarily maybe paying attention later on in the game thinking it's over, Zion Williamson asserts his physicality and dominance and wants to show that he is one of the stronger guys on the basketball floor. Do you believe, now it's only 7 games that we've seen, but early on, early indications, this guy averaging 20 points a game right out of the chute in the NBA, can Zion be as dominant someday as we see Giannis right now at the height of his power?
No, I don't see it. I really do not see it. No chance.
I love this guy.
You could just see his size is really going to be a problem in this league anytime he go against any type of team that has got any type of size to it. And Brook Lopez, Robin Lopez, Giannis, big problems. Created big problems for him in big issues going towards the rim. Now, not everybody's as big as Milwaukee, so obviously that works to his benefit. He doesn't have to deal with a bunch of 7-footers consistently game in and game out like it would he would have back in the day. I just think him being as small as he is as far as height-wise goes could work against him. It's not the 90s where you're allowed to bang and bang and bang and use your body weight to your advantage and power your way to the hoop. Having said that, look, he's young, right? So he's, you would assume, going to get better, right? His jumper will get better. His three-point shot will get better, just like it has for Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Providing he's got the work ethic and the commitment and everything else that goes into it that Giannis had. To have that type of work ethic, you don't find every day in the NBA. I mean, guys say they want to be great, but they don't want to put the work in like Giannis does year-round. So we'll see what kind of work ethic he has. This is what I liked about it, about him, right? I really like his competitive nature. Like, you could just tell, like, he was mad when he got pulled out there in the fourth quarter with, like, 5 minutes to go or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there. I don't know what he was saying. He was talking to somebody next to him, and you could tell he was hot, that he did not want to come out. And then he went out, and the Bucks immediately went on a run as soon as his butt hit the seat. They went on, like, a 7-0 run or something like that. And then you're like, oh, boy, now he's really got to be mad. And then he came in, and then, you know, the one play that everybody wants to talk about with Zion last night is when he ripped the ball out of Giannis's hands because Giannis wasn't paying attention to him. But that's a guy, again, to me, that's a positive. That's a guy that's not giving up on the game, that's still all in, that's still being aggressive. So I love the mentality. I like the way he plays, the aggressive nature. At some point, he'll start getting calls. Once he earns those stripes in the NBA, we know how this works. It takes a while to earn your stripes in the NBA unless you're Dwayne Wade. But outside of that, you're going to have to earn your stripes. It's going to depend on how good your team is and how good you are night in and night out before the referees start giving you those calls. He should live at the foul line. But like Giannis, he better start making them because he's struggling at the foul line just like Giannis is. And again, last night, Giannis missing free throws and Zion missing free throws. So I think all that comes in. Can he be at the level of Giannis? No, I don't. There's just so many things Giannis does right now, guys. And now you start adding an outside shot, which we really didn't see much of last night. But you start adding an outside shot.
Did we see one of them?
To Giannis. Yeah, but I mean, he wasn't taking 3, 4, 5 threes.
No.
Like, I think he made one on his trip.
I mean, in games this year, he's taking 3, 4, 5 threes in a game. So really didn't see that necessarily. The defensive ability of Giannis of blocking shots, chasing guys down from behind, all that other stuff. I don't know if he ever gets to that point of doing that. I don't see it, man. And I know in this studio I'm by myself, but I just don't see it. And I very well could be wrong, and maybe he does end up becoming the face of the NBA and a dominant figure. And if that happens, God bless him. I just don't see it.
Well, and the thing is, when you're the number one overall pick, the ceiling is the best player in the world, right? And the expectation is for you to be a perennial all-star. And those are huge gaps, right? That's a broad range when you talk about making a couple of different all-star teams and being the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where he falls in there, Gary, but Sparky, the competitive nature that you talked about was one thing that I saw last night. Again, the dude is not going to give up on the play, which is, I could say, refreshing, exciting to watch. He's just a different animal, and I have never seen somebody, Gary, that big move the way he does and be able to do it as long as he does. And Brian Anderson said yesterday when we talked to him that he's going to take a couple of plays off later on in the spurt, but he's still getting his legs under him. The guy's only played 7 games in this league. I don't know if he can be the best player in the world, but I think he's going to be damn good. And when you are pinning him against right now the best player in the world, I don't know that he gets there someday, but he's got a really, really good start to it, averaging 20 a game in his first 7 games.
Well, just keep it straight 100. He's not doing LeBron stuff, okay?
No.
Now, he's not going to take Smoosh Parker and them to the NBA Finals.
But in his defense, LeBron did that in his fifth year.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I don't think he's doing that. But in his defense, the Milwaukee Bucks, they're the best team in the NBA.
By far. Right? No doubt. Yep.
And he's only one guy. You can pretty much shut him down if you want to. You got so many guys to throw at him that he can, you know, he really can't get going. But what he did show you last night and what we saw, I mean, and Steve said, well, I know everybody's talking about it, but he's doing that. I mean, if he wants the ball, he snatches it out of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of people doing that in the NBA. I mean, it just shows you just a snippet of the brute strength that this guy have. You can say, well, Giannis didn't know he didn't know he was there. He didn't know he was around, all that stuff. I tell you what, you go try to take the ball out of Giannis' hand if he knows you're not there. You won't be able to do it because Giannis is strong, man.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I mean, you can downplay that too. So all you're looking for is like just little snippets of what you see go, now I haven't seen a lot of guys do that.
Right.
Now I haven't seen a lot of guys do what he just did right there. I mean, so, and you can see that. So what you're saying now is he's only 19. What is this going to look like at 22? Because if you take Giannis, right, at how old were he when he came into
18.
The league?
18. 18 when he first came in the league.
We saw some stuff, and that's all got to be about coaching. Listen.
And Giannis didn't have his body. He's not coming in physically ready like him.
No, not at all. But you and it's also about coaching, right?
Sure.
Thank God for Jason Kidd. I mean, I know y'all don't like him.
True.
I'm not talking about you two.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all, the people that listen to our station. I know y'all don't like him, but had he not had Jason Kidd, I don't think he'd have the ball handling skills that he has right there. To
he
me,
probably
right,
doesn't have the mentality he has either.
To me, that's what separates. Your question is what, Billy?
Can he be as dominant as Giannis someday?
I don't think so, and here's why. Because I don't think he'll ever get the ball handling skills that Giannis has.
Sure.
I think he's a post player on the block. I think he can step out, hit a three once again. But Giannis can do everything. He is not. It just feels like he is not a triple double guy like Giannis is.
Agreed. It's a double double guy.
Yeah, he's a double double guy. He's not a triple double guy. But and to me, the triple double to me that carries more weight. Yeah.
But I do believe that his ability to pass the ball is beyond his years, and you've sure. already seen that. Like yes. that part of it, knowing the game and understanding it around him.
Right. I mean, he can pass the ball.
He does,
now, don't get
and
me
he
wrong.
Understands the game really right. well, which is cool to watch. I also think one of the reasons why I believe he can really flourish in this system, guys, is because of the pieces he's got around him. Right now, he doesn't have to
he doesn't
do it
have
all.
Any,
he's got Brandon Ingram, who's an all-star right now. He's got young guys around.
Yeah, but that's not enough to keep. You saw what the Bucks did to him because they're a better team.
Mm-hmm.
That's not enough. What he has is not enough to against teams like the Bucks.
Sure, but to develop his talents and make him the best player that he can be, I think he's in the right system with the right pieces around him.
Dalvin Gentry's going to get fired.
Yeah, he is.
Next year.
Yeah,
okay.
He won't get fired this year, but he's going to get fired next year. You can see that
I
coming.
I can see it.
Gentry's going to be that guy. And then next year, when it's not going the way Zion wants, that's going to be the end of Elvin Gentry.
I don't think Zion is that kind of a guy. Like
you have Lonzo Ball on that team with LeVar in his hip pocket.
Oh, well, I don't
you
think
got a lot of personality.
Think, but doesn't feel like Zion's that type of guy.
No, and Lonzo hasn't been with his dad for the last 6 months. I mean, like you're looking at completely different situations than it is right now here today. I mean, they have, yes, do they not have the talent of the Milwaukee Bucks? No. No team in the NBA does. But do they have middle-of-the-road talent that will help flourish his game and his single individual stats? Maybe I'm looking into what we saw last night, but it feels like he's going to have an opportunity to be a really, really good basketball player across this league for a long time. What about you? Do you believe Zion can be as dominant as Giannis one day? 414-799-1250. Or maybe another player that you draw a similar comp to, because Gary, we were trying to find a comparison for him in the draft process for a long time.
Yeah.
It's just uncomparable to what you've seen, kind of like Dean Murray in the Jewelry Center.
Yeah, I mean, what you talking about, man?
Can't compare that.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner, folks. You better get on over there. If you're thinking about proposing to your girl, now is the time to get that diamond ring that you've been looking for her. It's at the Jewelry Center, 76 and Layton Plaza, in Brookfield, Blue Mountain Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building, a new location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Dean Murray is the owner. He's always there. Walk in the door, ask for Dean Murray. He's going to give you that great deal that Leroy Butler got. He's going to give you that great deal that Steve Sparky Pfeiffer got on a beautiful diamond ring. He's going to give you the great deal that Gary Ellison get almost every time that he walk in there. But here's how you got to get that great deal. When you walk in, you got to ask for Dean Murray. You got to ask for him. And then tell him the guys from the Big Show sing you. Three locations for you, folks. 76 in Layton Plaza, in Brookfield, Blue Mountain Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building, right down the second floor, and the third location in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Can Zion dominate the league like Giannis is right now at some point in time? You got to see the first meeting between these two, and it'll be the first of many. The body development, I think, lends the comparison a lot, just on a completely different spectrum, and maybe explain a little bit more of that with you as well at 414-799-1250. You can tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, as well. Bucks and Pelicans last night. Bucks ran away, but Giannis had some pointed words as to how much better Zion can get in one particular aspect of his game. That's next, Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
You just got to figure it out, you know, when you're younger and you're taller than everybody and you got more length than everybody and you're
you know, stronger and all that, you know, it's easy, but, you know, when you're in high school and college. But now when you get to the pro, you got to be able to, you know, get your skill set right, get your fundamentals right, be sharp, get your footwork right. And eventually he's going to get all those things. And when he get all those things, he's going to be really good. He's going to have a lot of options. And he's going to help his team a lot better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo, the reigning MVP. And right now, the guy's won the Eastern Conference Player of the Month award each month that they've played basketball this season. It feels like he's on his way to not just an MVP, but a possible unanimous second MVP award for Giannis Antetokounmpo. And that's talking about a guy saying he's going to be so much better once he figures this thing out. Well, seven games in, he's averaging 20 a night, so that cannot be understated as well. But can Zion dominate the league someday like Giannis is right now? Let's go out to Burlington and get Ryan at 799-1250. Ryan, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, guys. Hey, for a variety of reasons, absolutely not in terms of dominating like Giannis. I mean, we're talking about a guy whose points per is the greatest of all time. And although Zion is good, he doesn't have the ball handling. He doesn't have the height. And I'll be honest with you, my biggest concern with Zion, I know he just had a meniscus, but he's 19. And if you go down with a meniscus and you put on that much weight, he does not look in shape. He does not look as explosive as he was at Duke. Not that he's not good. He's really good. But if he can't keep his body in check, and the way it looks, usually, you know, LeBron comes in, if you look at old pictures when he came out of high school, 18, 19, he's skinny if you look at it. And
no, he's, you're
his
right.
Body. And Zion has to go the opposite way, which I just don't see it happening. I don't see you going the opposite way. And at 19, at 280 pounds, he's explosive, but already with a meniscus, and I know he's coming back from injury, so it might not be fair. He's not as explosive as he was last year. He's definitely – the first thing I saw last night, he's out of shape. And
yeah.
If you're 19 and you get out of shape that easily from a meniscus, is he a gym rat like Giannis where he can get his body right? And to carry that much weight and that much load and that much explosive on those, I think he's going to blow his wheels out. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's great for 6 years and then turns into a 15-10 guy, or he just can't stay in the league because he can't give his knees and his feet right. That's just my initial impression, but the talent is there, no doubt.
Appreciate the call, Ryan. That's the one thing I pray that doesn't happen, because I'm like, and once again, I'm always an optimistic guy, and I always lean towards the player side of the optimism. I'm hoping that he can reach his full potential, because I just haven't seen somebody with that type of competitiveness, that type of size, and that type of awareness of himself on the court. But if you gain 10, 15 pounds after the meniscus, those are valid concerns. But being able to work through it into an NBA, into a professional workout plan, Gary, you can talk about that. He's going to be eating a little bit different and training a little bit differently now than he was even a year ago at Duke.
Well, yeah, we talked to Brian Ansel a little bit about it yesterday, and really, that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so if you commit it, you got to do it. Now, he can't be like Eddie Lacy.
True.
And I don't think these guys are going to let him do that. I think these guys know that we need for this guy to draw, and we need for him to help us make money like he's making money. And I think he's motivated to be the best he can be.
I'll read something here. So Charles Barkley, right, when he was coming out, he played at 300 pounds in college.
Oh, my God.
300 pounds. And here's a pretty cool story that I found online. Charles Barkley said, back in my day, we had a hard salary cap, so you can now go over the salary cap like you can today. And the Sixers had the number 5 pick in the draft. Left college after 3 years, and in fairness, I was fat in college. I played at 300 pounds. The Sixers called me a month before the draft and said, hey, we want you to get down to 285 and come in before the draft. So I get down to 283. Night before we fly into Philly, my agent said, you do know the Sixers draft you. They are going to give you $75,000, right? I said, dude, I only have college for $75,000. We have a problem. He said, well, you weigh about 283 now. What do you want to do? You beat their weight limit. I said, good, let's go out. So we went to Denny's. I had like 2 Grand Slam breakfasts. We went to lunch. I had 2 big barbecue sandwiches. That night, we went to a big steakhouse. The next morning, I had 2 more Grand Slam breakfasts. And when we flew to Philly the next day, I weighed 302. I was like, thank goodness, the Sixers are not going to draft me. So when you look at my face, and Commissioner Stern says, with the 5th pick in the draft, the Philadelphia 76ers like Charles Barkley, I was like, oh, bleep. When people go back and look at me walking and they see that awful burgundy suit, everybody else is happy. And Charles isn't happy. But it worked out great. The most important person in my basketball career is Moses Malone. And he got me down to under 250. And the rest is history. So when you start talking about whether or not guys can lose weight in the NBA, like the last guy said, I just can't imagine him losing weight. Easier to gain weight and put muscle on, to a degree. Thon Maker could never put muscle on. He was eating for like an hour straight every day trying to put muscle on, couldn't gain the weight. You can lose the weight. So he can shed the weight. It's just a matter of whether or not he has the discipline to keep it off throughout his entire playing career. Because I agree. If he I don't think he can play 10, 15 years at 290.
No, you're eating Speed Queen every day. You're not going to drop it.
No, if he's eating gumbo for, you know, three or four times a week, it's not going to work. But but if he's taking care of himself, like, they will make sure, because he's their investment, believe he's going to have the opportunity to. Craig's in West Dallas. He's up at 799-1250. Craig, can Zion dominate like Giannis someday?
Probably not as much as Giannis, but he can still be dominant. Like you said, he can clean them boards. I mean, God, it's only his seventh game, and half his misses, he's followed up and rebounded them. I mean, that's impressive as all. I mean, I played high school in Division III. I mean, it's incredible how he's, it's like he's standing in the air waiting for the ball to come down on a rebound on a second chance. I mean, that's how hops he's got at 280, 290. Yeah, if he keeps his body in shape. But Barkley played how many years? He was top 50.
Right. Craig, where were you at Division III? Where'd you play at?
Whitewater.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you go to high school at?
I went up to Dodgelin up in Juneau.
Oh, okay.
What's a little school. I played, I was this guard. But, yeah, I wasn't that good, but I was good enough to make, you know, I went.
What's your stat line at over at high school up there in Dodgeville?
High school, I was 14 and 6 rebounds a game.
Oh, there we go. Did you have, so you were a shooter. You didn't have any assists, huh?
Oh, I loved. Yeah, I could shoot. I played up until I was 50. I'm 55 right now.
Woo!
Yeah, when the ball goes into my man Craig's.
And I was back in the day when we didn't play no tackle football all the way through grade school. I didn't play tackle football until our freshman year of high school.
Okay, so strictly basketball.
I think it's awesome that we do that. Yep.
Yeah, all right, buddy. Okay.
Appreciate
thanks,
it, Craig.
There it is. Craig driving around 14 a game.
Wait a second. Did he say that he's glad that we play tackle football now at like a 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th
yeah,
grade?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. I'm also a fan of it. I lied my age to make sure that I was in that tackle football a little bit earlier on. Trell's on the north side. He's up on the fan. Trell, can Zion dominate the league like Giannis is someday?
No. He could be dominated. Not as dominated as Giannis. You guys realize what Giannis is doing right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. I mean, yeah, we realize
he's got the highest PER in the history of basketball right now. They compare Wilt Chamberlain's 50-point season because Wilt Chamberlain played 40-plus minutes. Right now, Giannis is playing 30. So they did a 36 minutes. I mean, the Chamberlain was like 2 points ahead of Giannis and maybe 3 rebounds. And this is when he averaged 50 points and 25 rebounds. This man is just having a phenomenal season. Of course, he's not getting celebrated as much because he's in a small Milwaukee. But he's probably going to be unanimous MVP. Definitely going to win the MVP this year. But it might even be unanimous. And if he's able to cap off a championship with the success the team has had, talking about flirting with 70 wins, if they're able to capture off a championship, the league will be his at the end of this year. So he's doing some real dominant stuff. I'm not sure if people really know exactly how great by the numbers we are playing. But don't take my word for it. Go check the numbers.
Well, no, and appreciate it, Trell. The numbers are incredible. 30-13-5 has only been averaged by, I believe, 2 other players, and that's Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor. So, I mean, like, for those numbers and those comparisons to come up for the year that he's having in a different style NBA, I mean, Stevie, you covered this league for a while. You can speak to what the difference is.
I mean, look, Brian Anderson made a point on TNT last night to put up the per 36 numbers, meaning if Giannis played 36 numbers and what his numbers would look like in comparison to Wilt Chamberlain's monster year that he had, and they're pretty close. Pretty close to being similar. Because, I mean, Giannis would be about 35 points a game, somewhere in that area. They would be monster numbers. And because of the fact that they're blowing teams out, Budenholzer was able to rest him and play him about 30 minutes a night. That's the only reason why his numbers are down as much as they are. But like we talked about before, imagine if he hit more free throws, what his average would be.
Yeah.
He'd be averaging 32, 33 points a game instead of 30 points a game if he had a higher free throw percentage.
And Zion went to the line more times than Giannis did last night. Yep. 14 in comparison to 13. Each guy missed 4 free throws. They're both different players, and they both are going to play different styles. But the type of dominance that he can put together in the lane might be just a different level. Let's go to Ram in the north side. Ram, how dominant can Giannis be? You're what's going on?
I'm gonna say this. Zion is only 19, and you don't stop growing. Hey, what's going on, Gary Sparks?
Hey,
what's up?
I played basketball in college and high school too, but I'll say this: he's not even stopped growing. I mean, he's 19. Normal growth spurt is like 21, 22. So we don't know if he's gonna stop growing or whatever. And today's athlete, they come in with a lot of junk food diet. They learn that maybe.
Look at Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid just talked about sneaking him chocolate shakes on the plane and all this other junk food on the plane. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is a lot of them grow up with that. So when they get to the NBA, now you're getting paid, so you got people there to show you some stuff. You know, so okay. I don't compare. When you say dominant, you can't compare. He's playing a forward, and Giannis playing center. So I don't think it's comparable stats because you're doing something different. Now, could he be like maybe a 30-15 guy? Probably. Probably. He can handle the rock. I mean, I watched this kid since high school. He can handle the rock. But with the team he's with now, well, you know, they're a young team. And I don't know if Alvin Gentry is going to be there the full time, but they may change that. But I'll say this. I think they got Brandon Ingram is a good player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see him. He looks like an Alex English type guy. Not so much Durant, but definitely Alex. He can get buckets. And then, you know, they got to learn to play together. But as far as dominating like Giannis, I don't know. We got to see. You know, Gary, I just say we got to see. You know, it's only played 7 games.
Right.
I mean, so I don't know. To make these free looks, looking at something we really don't know. Like, he didn't play the full summer league. No. He's out of shape.
Well, no, and then he also appreciated the call, and then he also got himself, you know, out with a couple of injuries and had to nurse himself back through that. And the injuries will be one thing that you always have to account for, and that can be different between different players and different styles. The one thing that you always go back to with this Zion Williamson cat that you're going to get to see from New Orleans for a really long time is that competitive nature. And that second bounce, being able to go back and get his offense, the stat Anderson had yesterday of 24 misses and 12 he had gotten his own offensive rebound. That's a competitive thing that you can't teach. And I think when you look at where Giannis came from and his development, that drive is also something you can't teach. When you can see that early on with somebody, you try to project out where they can be. And is he going to be a two-time back-to-back MVP? You don't know, but is he going to have a bunch of opportunities to be an all-star? A lot of different campaigns. He's already got the hype machine behind him for it.
No doubt about it.
I don't disagree with the all-stars.
No doubt about it. Yeah.
I just don't think he's an MVP, that type of level superstar in this league. That's all I'm saying. I think before he came out, I think my comparison was Zach Randolph of who he was going to be. More of a double-double guy, shoot the occasional threes. At this point, he's not even that necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I think he can develop that jumper at some point. And like Brian Anderson was on yesterday, and he was talking about teaching him how to walk. They were teaching him how to walk. Like, you walk however you walk as a baby, right?
You walk how you
Your parents,
walk.
Hey, look, little Zion's walking. There he is, right? Yeah. Man, he's walking. I'm so proud of his mommy and daddy. And then fast forward, gets his first year of the NBA.
Well, you know, you heard
and they tell Zion, dude, you've been walking around your whole life.
And
we're going to teach you how to walk again. That is crazy,
you
Gary.
All the time you hear people, pronating?
Pro what?
Prorating?
Pronating. Pronating. I think that's the thing. Pronating. I don't know if that. Look that word up and see what it means. I think it's, you're walking on the inside of your feet. They do teach you how to walk and run.
You know somebody that's gone through that in the NFL?
Yeah, a lot of people have. Well, most athletes, they teach you how to do. They give you special shoes. They do.
Yeah, when your ankles kind of go flare out on the side there.
Mm-hmm.
Pronating. Crazy.
Yeah, this is a real thing. This Zion's ain't the first one. They do this with a lot of guys in the NFL, in the NBA. Yeah, it's a thing.
And doesn't that just speak though to the competitive incredible nature that you got?
Right, cuts down on injuries. You don't get that
in college.
No. They're not doing pronating. Again, they're not getting you special shoes. They're not doing any of that in college.
None of that stuff.
And they're not. You're still a kid. And they're kind of letting you be a kid a little bit. You just got to go to school. But, you know, you want the milkshake at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Go get it.
Yeah,
they're not going to stop you.
No. And in the NFL or NBA, too, that is a thing. But then you have to come. But when they're paying this guy that kind of money, they're not going to let him fail. I mean, here's the thing, Steve. Obviously, on the spectrum here, I think about Eddie Lacy and I think about Zion. And that they're not over you, but one guy is the face of – they want to be the face of the NBA. And another guy in Lacy wasn't. So he had to be dedicated himself. Yeah. They're going to make sure that Zion is eating properly and doing the right thing. Now, if he wants to sneak it and go get it, that's up to him.
The huge difference is Eddie Lacy was never the face of the Green Bay Packers.
Exactly.
Zion Williamson is the face of New Orleans at this point.
Well, he's the face of – they want him to be the face of the NBA.
I mean, that is the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. Like, he's their Aaron Rodgers for the Green Bay Packers. And so, yeah, you're right. All eyeballs will be on him at all times, making sure he's doing
the right thing. They're not going
to let him fail. Agreed.
But will he, or will he become one of the more dominant players in the league? Could he achieve the dominance one day that Giannis Antetokounmpo has already in his first 7 years? Keep that going at 414-799-1250. But guys, it's a new year, and you need to stop out at Mercedes-Benz of Milwaukee North right now today. It's conveniently off I-43 North at Silver Spring Drive, blocks away from the Bayshore Town Center in Glendale, and 15 minutes away from anywhere in the city of Milwaukee. Few 2019s left in stock, and Austin Dell, the sales manager, has been just chomping at the bit to get these things off the lot because they have the new 2020 inventory list ready today that you can get on and be ready to go once those new 2020s get into the showroom and get on the lot at Mercedes-Benz in Milwaukee North. Huge selection of new and certified pre-owned vehicles to fit your liking. Check them out online, mercedesofmilwaukeenorth.com. Then stop out at the dealership. Talk to Austin Dell, the aforementioned sales manager. Him and his great staff. Tell him the Wendy's Big Show sent you and Bill Schmidt, and he'll take great care of you and kick off 2020 in the Mercedes-Benz that you've always dreamed of. 414-799-1250. Ross Tucker's here in 10 minutes from right now. You're next at 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app with the Wendy's Big Show.
I think we were putting a lot of guys, a lot of different looks to him. I was guarding him, Brooke was guarding him, Robbie was guarding him, Pat was guarding him. Just tried to make him guess. Just tried to make it as tough as possible. You know he's going to go, try to go left, try to overpower whoever guarded him, try to go and finish strong. And the guys behind got to be active, got to make it as tough as possible.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo last night after the game talking about the defensive looks that they gave to the guy that's only played 7 games in the NBA. So talking about trying to confuse Zion Williamson, but don't be confused. He's off to an incredible start to his NBA career. Just under 20 points a night for his first 7 games in the NBA. But can he be as dominant as some of the greats like Giannis is right now in the NBA at some point in his career? Let's go out to the South Side, say hello to Joel. Joel, you're on the Wendy's Big Show.
What's up, guys? In today's NBA, Zion is your prototypical perfect center. You look at P.J. Tucker now with the Rockets. He's their center now that Capella's gone. And it's not about height, with Zion only being 6'6". It's about can you hold your spot? Are you strong enough? And he definitely is. I just think that he'll be out of the league in 5 years. I mean, for how big he is, and I'm not overstating this, he's huge and explosive. And 82 games plus playoffs, the amount of force that he plays with, I just can't see it lasting. Billy, you can probably speak to this. To me, he's playing the wrong sport. Like, he should be a tackle, like an offensive tackle, because 6'6", 285, he's playing basketball. Can you imagine if he was playing football? He could put on more weight, and you would never sniff the quarterback if you're going against that guy.
Or he'd be Chris Jones, and he'd be one of the more dominant inside guys in the league. I mean, definitely. No, he's got that style
football,
and power.
He's a D-line.
Yeah.
Football-wise.
He's a two-gapper in the middle, Gary.
Oh, he's Warren Sapp.
Right, and I mean, that's why I see him playing basketball, and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, Warren Sapp, but better than Warren Sapp, but if he likes the contact. I mean, that's the kind of joker he is.
He plays, Lord of mine. And maybe that's why I'm so infatuated with watching him play, because he reminds me of all of my offensive line buddies when we would play intramurals, and we would have all the offensive linemen on one intramural team.
Yeah.
Brutal team. We never won a game.
Yeah.
But everybody believes that they are the most athletic guy on the floor, and they're going to out-bully everybody.
Right. You don't put him on the offensive line. You put him on defense.
No, and let him go attack some people.
Oh, man. What you talking about?
I would not want to block him one bit. No. No thanks.
You know. I saw Mean Joe Green down in Miami, and that joker looked mean, man. Like, don't.
But I've heard he's one of the nicest guys.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay.
But when he's walking down the hall,
you're moving over.
Just menacing.
So did you see, now, because I know you were all over the place in Miami, did you see the video they had before the game when the little kid ran out to the field and gave him the football?
Yes.
To Bill Vanevich?
Yes, wasn't that great?
Was that first off, was that Mrs. McCaskey there in the middle, the Bears owner?
I don't remember.
I thought that was her, and she hands him the football. There's Roger Goodell, and there's Mean Joe Green standing there. Goes, take it to the house, kid. Like, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I will. I promise.
He's just mean. That joke would just look mean. Just stay away.
I bet you saw a few guys that you looked at and like, that dude, there's something wrong with
him. Yeah, I rolled back on the plane with Otis Wilson.
Outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. He was a bad dude, too.
But that whole 85 team was bad dudes.
Yeah, he's a bad dude, man. Bad dude. I mean, ooh, Lord Hammer. You just think, I mean, you think about, you were talking about this kid Zion. I mean, yeah, I don't even know why his parents didn't let him play football. I mean, he could be, right, you wouldn't even have to worry about his weight. Just, man, eat what you want.
Yeah, eat what you want. Go out here and play.
But you see the athletic ability that this kid has.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's untapped. And, you know, people may be right. I mean, Joel may be right. He might be out of the league in 5 years. I mean, I wouldn't doubt that. If he's not going to get himself in shape and get on a diet, yeah, he cannot play 82 games jumping up and down like that. I don't disagree with that at all.
It reminds me a lot of the conversation. And
it'd be like I said today, it'd be like Bo Jackson.
In a totally different sport, totally different position. Everybody wants to say, Lamar Jackson, he's not going to be able to play that way. He's going to be out of the league in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a blind loyalty and hope. But both of these dudes have something incredible about their athletic ability that don't want to see it end.
Right. And well, odds are tell you that Lamar Jackson, it just tells you that no running quarterback that way has lasted that long. Now, Michael Vick did,
mm-hmm.
sort of, kind of. But
he got hurt in a preseason game.
Right. But you just law of averages catch up with you in those sports.
414-799-1250, the phone number, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen
never
inbox.
Frozen.
You can join us as well. When you guys heard Giannis say this about Zion, what came to your mind?
He just got to figure it out. You know, when you're younger and you're taller than everybody and you got more length than everybody and you're, you know, stronger and all that, you know, it's easy. But, you know, when you're in high school and college. But now when you get to the pro, you got to be able to, you know, get your skill set right, get your fundamentals right, be sharp, get your footwork right. And eventually he's going to get all those things. And when he get all those things, he's going to be really good. He's going to have a lot of options. And he's going to help his team a lot better.
Look, I would love to know Giannis's mentality on this, knowing what Kobe did for him, Garnett did for him, guys that were at the end did for him. Giannis is in his prime, right? When Kobe was in his prime, Kobe wasn't trying to help anybody.
Mm-mm.
Wasn't trying to give him any advice. Wasn't trying to be nice about anything. Like, whatever. I got my own stuff to worry about. Go talk to that kid if you want to talk to that kid. I'm not talking about anybody. That's kind of how Kobe was. So now Giannis is being put into a situation where it's kind of similar. He's not at the end of his career. Far from it. He's in the prime of his career. He's the most dominant player in the league right now by all standards. And now they want to ask him about a possible threat to his throne in 3 or 4 years and what he thinks about him. And Giannis, because he is just a super nice guy, based on everything we've seen or heard, will still comment about it. Just wonder how long it's going to be before Giannis gets sick and tired of getting asked about him, per se. Like, I think, I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but I think LeBron got sick and tired of hearing about Giannis for a couple of years when he was in the Eastern Conference. Like, dude, I'm sick and tired of hearing about how this dude's the next big thing and da-da-da-da-da. And when they played Giannis, LeBron and crew got up to play Giannis to try and put him back in his place. And you'd have to think that Giannis is going to have that type of attitude against certain players as he continues to get older and young studs like Zion Williamson come into the league and try to be proclaimed the next big thing that's going to be the new face of the NBA when Giannis just got to be to this point.
That's a good point, because you're always looking for what's next, right? I mean, even we're here watching the Chiefs Super Bowl parade, and immediately after they win the championship, everybody goes, well, can they win it again? Because you do always want to look and project forward. We're going to project forward into the 2020 NFL season. Also take a little look back again at what 2019 had in store for the Green Bay Packers when Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans, joins us next here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. But first, guys, Gary Ellerson and the Pfister Hotel.
Yeah, guys, you know what? They're absolutely incredible. They've been around for 125 years, guys. Experience the Midwest Condé Nast Traveler's Reader's Top Choice and experience the wonder of the Pfister at thepfisterhotel.com. You know, it's more than just about the Pfister. There's another place also, too, the award-winning Mason Street Grill, a fantastic local joint with wood-fired dishes, delicious steaks, and handcrafted cocktails with live music. Literally some of the best steak you will ever have. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant bar, bustling dining room, or elegant private spaces, experience the best of the area, fresh cuisine, expert service, and unmatched atmosphere. Reserve your table today at MasonStreetGrill.com. Two fabulous places right here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee, the Pfister Hotel, Restaurant, Bar, and next door, the Mason Street Grill.
It's the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, the Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. On that radio.com app, you can hear Home and Home, the daily show that our guy Ross Tucker, who joins us next, radio.com NFL insider hosts from 8 to 11. You'll hear him next on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com. I appreciate you hanging out. Talking about Zion Williamson inside these Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios and that matchup he had with Giannis Antetokounmpo last night, and how can that dominance be transferred or maybe comparable between the two. Get that conversation going back up at 5 o'clock here on the Wendy's Big Show. It's National Signing Day across college football. John McNamara comes up at 3:35, but right now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, powered by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans, is all our insider calls, our radio.com sports NFL insider Ross Tucker, host of Home and Home. You can see it on the radio.com app. You can also just go radio.com/home and find it right there with him and Dave Briggs. It's Ross Tucker on the Wendy's Big Show, former NFL lineman. Ross, was that comeback one for the ages or what? 21 points in under 7 minutes from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty impressive, obviously. You know, like a lot of people, I just wanted a competitive game. And to have it go from 20 to 10 with 7 minutes left to 31-20, I was not expecting that. Now, I kind of thought the Chiefs might have a little bit left in them, but not like that. Not 21 points that quickly. I mean, up until the 3rd and 15 throw to Tyreek Hill, I thought it was Patrick Mahomes' worst game ever. I mean, he had two bad picks, mm-hmm. a couple other bad throws. Even the play right before the 3rd and 15, 44-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill was wide open on a comeback route. Mahomes threw the ball a little short. Tyreek had to trap it. They overturned it. And I remember right then thinking, man, this is just not his night. He just doesn't have it. And then, pow, turn it on like the great ones do.
Okay, so he throws the one interception, and they decide, okay, that's enough. Go sit in the corner. We're going to run the football. And then after that drive goes smooth, they decide, okay, we're going to let you out of the corner. You've been a good boy, so now you can throw again. So he does really good on that drive. And at that point, I took to Twitter and said, look, just run the football the rest of the way out. Don't press your luck with Jimmy G throwing the ball a ton and just do what you do best. And sure enough, they pressed their luck and they let him throw for the last 6-7 minutes of the football game. And Shanahan, as far as I'm concerned, Shanahan lost that game. The best thing going for you was running the football. Now, most fans get upset because, well, you know, you're taking your foot off the gas pedal if you run the ball and you're playing too conservative. But for the Niners, that's their strength. That's what they should have continued to do. They couldn't stop them on the outside.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't run it that effectively during the game. I think some of the numbers were a little skewed by Deebo Samuel on those reverses. And I'm of the belief that a lot of people, probably like you, if they had run, and then punted, would have said Kyle Shanahan got way too conservative and deserved to lose the game. I have a tough time. I mean, the first series, the fourth quarter, with like 10 minutes left, you know, he threw the ball to Kittle, 12 yards, first down. The next series, Kittle's wide open in the middle of the field. Chris Jones makes a nice job to tip it. I didn't really have much of a problem with it. I don't think he anticipated, number one, Chris Jones making that play, and number two, Garoppolo didn't play very well. I mean, Garoppolo had played pretty well for 50 to 52 minutes of the game, and he was like the anti-Mahomes. It was like they totally flipped the script on each other. I mean, even after that, even after the Chiefs take the lead, Emmanuel Sanders, wide open, deep post. Garoppolo misses him by a lot. Then he takes a sack on fourth down, which you absolutely cannot do. I put more of the blame for the fourth quarter on Garoppolo than I do Shanahan.
Yeah, right. But isn't that what everybody thought? I think that was the game plan of the Green Bay Packers. They wanted to get into a game where it was Garoppolo versus Rodgers, or just try to make Garoppolo complete some passes or keep him in third and long and keep the ball and keep the ground game out of it. And the Packers weren't able to do that, and it just felt like Kansas City was able to say, okay, Garoppolo, you've got to try and go and beat us.
Yeah, I'm curious, Gary, and everybody. Were Packers fans rooting for or against the Niners since they beat them so badly? Or was it totally Switzerland, you guys didn't care at all?
Well, for me, I wanted Kansas City to win because the Mahomes guy looked like my son, Brock.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, Andy Reid, I think, was a lot of Packer fans were probably rooting for Andy Reid a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I think there were some fans that really didn't care because they weren't even close to that Niners game. It wasn't like you had your heart broken like it was against Seattle years ago and you blew it all in a five-minute span at the end of a game.
Yeah, oh, man, that was rough. I can't even believe you guys bring that up. That was about as bad as I've ever seen. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about it. The only NFC team to win the Super Bowl since the 2013 season is the Eagles a couple years ago. It's weird because it feels like there's more competition in the NFC. Feels like the NFC's better, but the AFC's been winning the lion's share of the Super Bowls over the last 6 years.
Ross Tucker joining us here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. You can catch Ross daily on Home and Home on the Radio.com app, where you can also hear us on the Radio.com app, which is free, by the way. It's amazing. People in the market don't think you should listen to podcasts for free. So, Ross, when you're watching this Kansas City parade here today and then trying to project out how many can they win with this group, I understand the contract for Patrick Mahomes is going to be a hurdle for them to achieve with the group that they have. But it's always the question after a team with a young quarterback wins it, how many more do you think that they can get with this group in Kansas City?
Well, this, you're right. It is always the question, right? And I can remember even back when Aaron Rodgers and the young Packers won it after the end of the 2010 season, we were asking that. And it certainly felt like with them winning the Super Bowl, despite how many injuries they had that year, it certainly felt like it could be the start of something big in Green Bay.
Correct.
Which is why I've been pumping the brakes on the Chiefs and Mahomes quite a bit. I mean, if you think about it, Dan Marino, Drew Brees, and Aaron Rodgers, total number of Super Bowl appearances after their first one was zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
None of them ever got back again. I tweeted that at Ross Tucker NFL. Now, I kind of think Mahomes will get back. I kind of think he'll probably win another one. But it is very, very difficult to be a dynasty and win several. I mean, I'll tell you this much. I don't think they win it if the Dolphins and Ryan Fitzpatrick don't win in New England Week 17. Because if they don't win in New England Week 17, then the Chiefs are the 3 seed. They have to win 3 playoff games, including the divisional round and conference championship on the road, and maybe they get it done, guys, but that's a lot different than the Texans and Titans at home. A lot different.
Ross, speak on this, because this is what most Packer fans think. Well, the Patriots did it. Tom Brady, those guys been to 5, 6 Super Bowls and won. How can they do it and we can't do it? I mean, Aaron Rodgers is just as good as Tom Brady. And I'm just saying to myself, Ross, that speaks to, like, the greatness. I mean, I think there's different levels. I mean, you've really got the Patriots, and then there's kind of everybody else. And everybody else is you've got, you know, the Saints, and then you've got, of course, you look at the 49ers. They've gone to a couple with different quarterbacks. But you've got a lot of teams that are right below, but they're not the Patriots. And it feels like the Patriots make everybody thinks that they can do it too, but no one speaks on the greatness of Belichick and what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll ever see anything close to what the Patriots have done again. They are the outlier. They are the exception to the rule. That would be unbelievable if Mahomes can do that. Now, I will say this, guys. If you look at the AFC, there's really not that many teams that scare you or are that impressive in terms of slowing down a potential dynasty in the AFC? I mean, certainly the Ravens are capable, but especially if Brady's not there, I think the Patriots are kind of out. I don't see anybody in the AFC East being able to slow down the Chiefs. Maybe if Big Ben comes back healthy, the Steelers. Still don't think anybody in the AFC South can get there. Nobody in the AFC West. So unlike the NFC, where it's Green Bay and Minnesota, and it's, you know, the Seahawks and the Niners, and maybe even the Rams, and maybe the Eagles and the Cowboys. Like, there's legit the Saints. In the NFC, it's really tough just to get there. I kind of feel like, other than the Ravens, there aren't very many teams in the AFC that I actually even think have a great chance to stand in the way of the Chiefs. I mean, they might be on a path here the next few years to have a really, really easy route to the Super Bowl.
Talking with Ross Tucker here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. One of my favorite parts of Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL is the Even Money podcast, because
I like
to make some investments, and I like to be able to cash in and then supplement my habits. So Ross, here we go. We get the early odds for the 2021 Super Bowl, and the Packers are stacked behind the New Orleans Saints, Dallas Cowboys, and San Francisco 49ers in what you just described, a pretty loaded NFC. On that AFC side, the one right in the middle there with the New England Patriots at 9-1, just still I shake my head, because where is Tom Brady going to play next year?
Yeah, well, nobody knows. Andrew Brandt said today, the former Packers executive, on the Ross Tucker Football podcast, which is also available on the radio.com app, which that app basically runs the world, by the way.
No doubt it does.
He said he doesn't think Brady's going to be back. Mm. He thinks Brady wanted to be a free agent for a reason, and that he thinks Brady's going elsewhere. I still think it's, especially with the report out that the Patriots are willing to pay him $30 million a year,
right?
I would still put it at 75% Patriots, 15% Chargers, 5% somewhere else, 5% he retires. I still think he's going to end up going back to New England, unless Belichick is a complete jerk to him and doesn't show him any appreciation or any love, and Brady just says, I'm sick of it. I think he's going back there. I will tell you that we talked about it on the Even Money podcast today, and the one we liked the most was the Ravens at 8-1. I mean, 8-1 is a decent number. Ravens were dominant this year for a reason. Didn't work out for them against the Titans, but 8-1, you know, whereas the Chiefs are 5-1 or whatever, 8-1 seems like pretty good odds on the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, Ross. So I saw your video about Tony Boselli, should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one offensive lineman talking about another offensive lineman. Your thoughts on how this whole Hall of Fame process works?
Well, it is interesting in the sense that I think that they decide at times that there are guys that are absolutely deserving, and there's like a pecking order of let's get this guy in now, right? Like I think that they decided let's get Isaac Bruce in now. He's waited long enough, and he and Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne are all comparable. I almost feel like that's how it works, you know, whereas Atwater and John Lynch, they probably thought, well, Atwater has been waiting longer, so let's let Atwater in this year. It's like they decide who they think is Hall of Fame caliber, and then if a guy's been waiting a certain length of time, they put him in. What that doesn't make sense to me, though, is with Tony Boselli, who's been waiting much longer than Steve Hutchinson. And Steve Hutchinson, you know, my entire 7-year career, I watched Steve Hutchinson play left guard. He was an unbelievable football player. But left guard in a West Coast offense, when they're sliding to you most of the time, two jet, it was not even close in the degree of difficulty to what Boselli did in Jacksonville with those 7-step drops, blocking guys one-on-one back in the day. I mean, the way I describe it is, you know, Boselli could have done what Hutchinson and Faneca and those guys did, those guys couldn't have done what he did. And I'm not trying to take anything away from those guys. They're unbelievable players. They're Hall of Famers in my book.
Yeah.
But I think they would even tell you that.
No, and I think that's the same. That's the same conversation we kind of get into with Leroy Butler here that is on our show, is that he could play in today's game because he's also could come down and cover the slot guy. He can move him outside, or you can put him at safety, or he's a blitzer, the first 20-20 guy. And I think he's, to me, kind of reinvented that position. If you look at all the guys that have gone in before him, they've kind of patterned their game after him. I mean, all these guys are deserving. You can never say that. But if you look at Atwater, you look at Lynch, those guys to me are more what, box safeties. I mean, you don't see them coming in the slot covering a guy or moving outside covering a guy like Leroy Butler used to do.
Yeah, I agree with you. He is kind of the prototype. It seemed like a guy like Atwater, they felt like had been waiting longer. And frankly, I think they would go next year with a guy like John Lynch, and they would say that he's been waiting longer, been a finalist more times than Leroy Butler.
And they're in Tampa.
Right. And what ends up happening too is next year, it's like there are some good first ballot guys.
Well, you've got Woodson, I think
Manning,
Charles Woodson.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah. Woodson's going in. Peyton Manning's going in. Right. So the others, it becomes a tough year. This was a good year for a lot of the guys like Baselli, Butler, et cetera, to try to get in.
Ross, when you look at the relevance around the league with Aaron Rodgers and the possible moves that come up here moving into the 2020 offseason, what do you see as the biggest need for the green and gold here?
I'd like to see him get one other weapon. You know, I know everybody says they need to get two, but I'd like to see him get a tight end and or another receiver. And they'll probably on some level try to address both. Now, you guys have to tell me. I know from talking with Greg Cosell on the Ross Tucker podcast, he loved Jace Sternberger. So if they think in year two, Jace Sternberger is ready to be that guy, then maybe the focal point is more on receiver. But it certainly feels to me like they needed one more weapon for Rodgers on offense and one more interior defensive lineman, you know, to stop the run and get some pressure up the middle.
So on your home-to-home podcast and all that fun stuff, how much XFL coverage will there be as the XFL kicks off this weekend?
It's a good question. It's definitely going to be a lot of what we talk about on Friday. Like anybody else, I'm pretty curious. I kind of liked the AAF last year. I liked that they had the Sky Judge and they had the camera on the Sky Judge during the instant replays. Like I like transparency. I like that, you know, all these guys are going to be mic'd and all these cameras for the XFL. You know, as a guy that was a journeyman that played for five teams, 7 years, I've got a real understanding and respect for these guys that'll be playing. And I'm looking forward to it. I really am. And I'm glad that they apparently are financially backed so well, because I'd like to see them really make a go of it. You know, I kind of like spring football in the sense that, you know, during football season, Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, I'm watching that whole game. You know, like I'm definitely talking about it the next day. It's my job, blah, blah, blah. I kind of like having XFL on because if I'm flipping through the channels, I'd rather watch that than college hoops until we get to the tournament probably, or an NBA regular season game, but I don't have to watch it. You know, it's like I can watch 20 minutes of it and then go out there with my wife or something. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, well, and Ross, I think it will, for a lot of people, it'll also keep HGTV off the television. So I think a lot of guys will enjoy that as well.
You know what they should have done? They should have had a team in Milwaukee.
Well, thank you. We would have enjoyed that.
Hey.
Yep.
No, I mean, like, I don't understand
makes too much
seven
sense.
Of the eight teams are in NFL cities. You know, you guys should have had a team in Milwaukee. You love football. And Green Bay's, you know, a couple-hour jaunt or whatever. Mm-hmm. To have your own football right there, I think the people, you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the people in Milwaukee would have embraced it. I think it would have been fun. I don't know. The Milwaukee Milkmen, the Milwaukee...
That's the name of our independent baseball team. It's called the Milwaukee Milkmen. That's pretty funny. That is exactly the name of the team.
Yeah, I came up with that right then.
Yeah, so. that's pretty good.
That's a dollar idea right there.
But, you know, the other thing, too, is the Super Bowl...
Handing them out in Milwaukee radio.
The Super Bowl ratings just came out, and Milwaukee was the number two TV market in Super Bowl ratings.
I saw that. And how about the fact that the Bay Area wasn't even in the top 10?
I know. Couldn't surprise me anyway.
What is that about? Where
How
doing?
Is that possible?
I don't even know.
I mean, that's scary. But that's amazing that the Packers, that Milwaukee was still the second most. You guys love your football. Much respect. I think Oliver Luck and the XFL mess up. Why would you put a team in L.A.?
Makes no sense.
Like, that's crazy to me. You can't tell me. Maybe it's a weather thing. You can't tell me more people wouldn't go to see the Milwaukee Milkmen, you know, sponsored by Spotted Cow and whatever.
There you go.
That more people wouldn't go see them than the L.A. whatevers.
Yeah.
And listen to me do the broadcast on play-by-play. It would have just been a marriage made in heaven. Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
See you guys.
All right, that's Ross Tucker joining us here on Radio.com Sports NFL Insider on 105.7 FM.
Came right up with it.
Yeah, it just popped right into his head. I like the idea. There was no reason why Vince didn't put an XFL team here.
Were they going to play?
They could have played in that field right across the street from Pottawatomie over by Marquette. You could easily build bleachers
right there. Oh, yeah.
You could also build on the bleachers over at Miller Park.
You can't play in Miller Park. That's my point.
No.
So for those of you thinking, well, they could have just played Miller Park.
No, that's
when they designed that, they designed that knowing they couldn't play football.
Right.
Or, I mean, it's like there's plenty of opportunities of places that you could do. Like some place that actually seemingly never has anything going on, the Milwaukee Mile. You could have put it right there. Right? I mean, there's plenty of opportunities.
Which used to be the home of the Green Bay Packers.
They did, back in the day.
There's so many opportunities. Oh, it would have been great. Vince, you messed up. 414-799-1250. Is Patrick Mahomes better than Aaron Rodgers was at his best? We debate next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.